Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Indeed it is. Good afternoon to you, Pastor Chiwanda.
Good afternoon, sir.
How are you doing this afternoon? Are you good?
Quite well. How are you, sir?
Very well, thank you. Thank you for asking. It is a great afternoon indeed. I hope that yours is good too.
Yes, it is.
Lovely, lovely. And Amasa, thank you and welcome those who are joining us, listening to the radio this afternoon. And we do know that spiritual intimacy is a bond between two individuals that centers around their shared or complementary beliefs, values, and worldview. Now, the key to spiritual intimacy lies in creating a space where both people feel comfortable exploring life's big questions together. So today, one look at into whether spiritual intimacy is more or less important than other forms of intimacy. And so we're going to be doing that with the pastor. And oh my goodness, we just lost him. We just lost the pastor. So yeah, we're going to be trying to get a hold of the pastor once again. I suppose maybe he is. Is it network? No, it doesn't look like it's network. His network is okay. Pastor, can you hear me?
Yeah.
All right.
I don't know.
Can you hear me, Pastor?
Yes, I can. Yes, sir.
Lovely. Now, how does a couple's spiritual intimacy affect other parts of their lives?
Indeed, the other part should be elucidated or listed, which are the physical, the emotional, the psychological, intellectual, and the marital. How are these affected by spiritual intimacy? That's a very important question. My answer would be that spiritual intimacy serves as a foundational aspect of the other part. Because you will remember that the one who instituted marriage was God. And God was related to the people that he wedded. Therefore, the spiritual aspect is the very foundation of the other relationship, or of the entire relationship. So, so that physical intimacy, that is the physical proximity, closeness, presence, and sexual intimacy are impacted positively when people have a good relationship with God and a good relationship with each other. You cannot be surprised to find more hugs, more kisses, more cuddling, more physical touches, more playfulness in joy and happiness with each other, just because they also have a good relationship with God. And then spiritual intimacy also affects the emotional side of life, because this couple are now able to express themselves to each other freely. That is expressing even deepest and innermost feelings, such as thoughts, fears, pains. So spiritual intimacy boosts that particular feature of sharing, expressing one another without fearing that they'll be judged or that they'll be censured. So you feel so free, because if you are free with God, how are you not going to be free with your own spouse, And then spiritual intimacy also tends to assist this couple to have wisdom. Because knowledge and wisdom differ a little bit. But then wisdom is when you are able to make use of the knowledge that you have in benefiting yourself and benefiting others. So in intellectual intimacy, spiritual intimacy helps the intellectual side by getting them engaged and sharing opinions and ideas, perspectives with freedom and openness, as well as respect and humility. So spiritual intimacy tends to give them that kind of freedom when they are discussing, when they is trying to resolve issues and solve problems. And then you see spiritual intimacy also boosts the marital intimacy, the marital relationship itself. Because the marital intimacy is characterized by commitment, purpose, communication, loyalty, faithfulness, safety and security, caring, mindfulness, empathy, selflessness. So you discover that when you go into the spiritual aspect, these characteristics also tend to characterize your relationship with God, where you are going to be faithful to Him, loyal to Him, communicate with Him, have a purpose of your life grounded in God Himself. So you found that the spiritual intimacy tends to pervade to all these other parts. It becomes the spiritual intimacy then becomes interwoven together as an inseparable, from the other areas of this marital relationship or this marriage relationship.
Do you think that now, because you've mentioned some beautiful, you know, areas of intimacy in a relationship, would you think that spiritual intimacy is an anchor to all these other intimacies?
I would think of it like that. I would think of it like that because, as I was trying to say, it is foundational and central. It is a central key to the relationship. You find that relationships that are not grounded in spiritual intimacy have a lot of problems. They are troubled marriages. The dynamics are very, very turbulent. So I would say it is central. I know that some people say that spiritual intimacy is more important than the other, or that it's less important, or it's just equally important. Maybe it's related to what you are saying. Let me address that as well. I wouldn't think of spiritual intimacy as less important.
Okay.
The less important option, I would call it null and void, because it is important. But if we talk about, is it equally important as the other areas? I would say yes, it is equally important, because all of those, spiritual intimacy itself, marital intimacy, intellectual intimacy, emotional intimacy, physical intimacy, all of those contribute to well-being. And well-being has to do with health and happiness, as well as with satisfaction with life. Having a life that is purposeful, a life that is satisfying, and having relationships that are nice and satisfying as well. So well-being is sort of benefiting from each area there. So to say that they're equally important is true. It is true. But then to say that spiritual intimacy is more important could also be true, because spiritual intimacy prioritizes the will of God. The will of God. You remember Matthew 6, verse 33, seek me first the kingdom of God, and all these other things you are looking for will be added unto you.
Yeah.
Spiritual intimacy prioritizes the will of God, doing the will of God, following God, getting intimacy with God, being intimate with God. So I find it very foundational, and also I find in spiritual intimacy at the very meaning of the rest of the aspects in the relationship. Actually, sorry for the quote. Actually, spiritual intimacy provides meaning and purpose to the marriage relationship itself. Why are we married? What are we here for? When we begin to understand that God established this marriage, when you begin to understand that we draw love from God, then you begin to see that it's very, very important. It's even more important than everything else.
Now, is it possible, Pastor, to be spiritually intimate and not so much on the other aspects of the relationship? Or how does spiritual intimacy automatically improve every part of the relationship?
I would like to suggest that if spiritual intimacy is more than the other areas, it is probably not balanced. Because you see, when you say that spiritual intimacy, maybe people are more spiritually intimate than intellectually intimate, than emotionally intimate, than maritally intimate. If we say that they are more spiritual than the rest of the other thing, you see that there is an imbalance somewhere there. So I would like to say that probably, yes, yes, spiritual intimacy can be more than the other aspects in a certainly marital relationship because of a zealous spirituality. You know that there can be overzealous spirituality where people emphasize the church, emphasize God, emphasize the spiritual, emphasize the heaven. And you find that they are too busy with those activities while they neglect other aspects of their own relationship. And they'll be telling you, I went to that meeting, we were in a revival. You see, but now you are spending more time that side on the spiritual aspects, but then you are not available on the physical scene. You are not available intellectually, you are not available emotionally. When that happens, I think it's not correct. It's not correct. So because some spiritual intimacy can be meaningless spirituality. You know, people can spend hours and hours in the presence of God when they are not even in the presence of God, but they are making noise in Him. That can happen. Meanwhile, they have left their family and they are busy with the other people who they are saying, we are enjoying the Christ. What about your wife? What about your husband? Where are they? You see? Such issues. But then in terms of spiritual intimacy, automatically improving the other relational parts, the answer is in two. Yes, if that spiritual intimacy is the very meaning of the relationship, and it's also the very purpose of that relationship, then yes, spiritual intimacy can automatically improve that kind of relationship, because that's the basis for that relationship. But no, spiritual intimacy may not be automatically impacting to the other areas if that spirituality lacks meaning. Yes, man, that's how I would put it. And yes, of course, if also
yes,
it
yes.
is effortless.
Yeah.
I mean, people should make an effort to improve their spiritual intimacy. I'm muted again.
Are you muted? Oh, what is happening? Pastor? Hello, Pastor? Hello? Oh, my goodness. Pastor, can you hear me? Can you hear me, Pastor? I can hear you. I think you've muted yourself. Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, Pastor.
Yes, I'm here.
Yes, all right. So you were saying that there must be an effort to do what?
I was saying there must be an effort to improve your spiritual intimacy. It will automatically. No. They automatically is there because of the fact that you are grounded spiritually. You have spiritual intimacy. You get the meaning of your relationship, the purpose of your relationship from spiritual intimacy. But you also have to make efforts to improve the spiritual intimacy aspect. Don't just abandon it to automated features of spiritual intimacy, it may not work.
You know, and I'm thinking here, with all good things, they are accompanied by some kind of or some degree of effort, not so?
Yes. Mm. Exactly. There must be effort. Towards arriving at something. Yes.
Now, does spiritual intimacy lead to trust and openness in a relationship? Or is it trust and openness that leads to spiritual intimacy? Which comes first?
I find it very complex. and a bit difficult. because you see, spiritual intimacy to me is a process. It is a process. You can't look at spiritual intimacy as something that just happens and stops there. It is a dynamic process. It's some sort of a journey. And I am thinking that gaining trust of a spouse is also a process. And as one proves trustworthy, you trust them. As one proves trustworthy, you trust them. And then as one proves caring and non-judgmental, you are open to them. Yes. So in the process, openness should be gained. In the process, trust should be gained. And in the process, spiritual intimacy should be improved. Mm. That's how I'm looking at it. So that in that case, it may be difficult to say that spiritual intimacy will lead to trust and openness. Yes, it could be so if we consider that each of the spouses, when they were coming into this relationship, they brought their own spiritual intimacy levels with God. So it could be that one which brought a prior test of the spiritual intimacy into the marriage. So maybe it led to the trust and openness which is there. Mm. Yes, also, trust and openness may boost spiritual intimacy in that case. But the question as to what comes first, that's where I have difficulties to say exactly. We may consider either or, to say that the spiritual intimacy may come first, or trust and openness may come first, because both of these are processes. What do you think? Am I complicating it?
No. You're complicating it further.
this question is too difficult. Not easy at all.
Now, let's conclude. Let's conclude our afternoon. Now, what does the Bible mean when referring to marriage with the words "the two shall become one flesh"? Is it physical? Is it spiritual, or both?
I was looking at God saying that in Genesis 2, verse 24, the two shall be one flesh. Jesus saying that in Matthew 19, verses 5, 6, they'll be one flesh. Ephesians, Paul saying the same in Ephesians 5, verse 31 to 32, they are one flesh. So it's a very important point. But to answer your question, I think one flesh, in the first place, I think of it as bed life. I don't know. Am I right? Bed life between the wife and the husband. That bed life is one flesh. But also, if you agree with me, emotional intimacy is also connected to the bed life itself. So I would think that being one flesh is also being one in emotional intimacy. I also think that it's also being one in intellectual intimacy. I also think that it's being one in spiritual intimacy. Because if you go to Acts 17, verse 28, it says that in him we exist, move, and have our being. In him we exist, we move, and we have our being. So I think that one fleshness is the sexual life, emotional life, intellectual life, spiritual life, that's becoming one person, one body, one human being, where we are two. That's how I look at it.
Yeah. Man, Pastor, this has been an exciting interaction. I must thank you so much for coming through. Always, always, always learning quite a lot when we have conversations with you here on Maranatha Drive on the Adventist World Radio. I must thank you so, so much. Wishing you blessings for the whole rest of the afternoon. We're going to be connecting with you again tomorrow at the same time and same place.
Thank you so much, and God bless you. Thanks for having me.
Lovely. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.